The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Pericope of Scripture this evening is Psalm 89. Psalm 89, and we're going to be reading the first 18 verses. This psalm can be divided into three parts. There is the prayer and the hope of Ethan the Ezrahite, verse 19 all the way through verse 37 is then a passage that talks about Christ, the anointed one, and then beginning in verse 38 to the end, we have a lament. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. So far the reading of this psalm. And it is verses 15 and 16 that constitute my text. 15 and 16. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his infallible word. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. We're going to look at what that joyful sound is. But by way of introduction, let me comment that we are this year celebrating the 400th anniversary of the Synod of Dordrecht and the work of the Synod of Dort. Of significance of that synod was not only the 5 points of Calvinism over against Arminianism, but also of significance was the church order that was drawn up. And in that church order, there were stipulations. There were stipulations, first of all, that there would be 2 worship services on the Sabbath day, one of those worship services dedicated to the preaching of the Heidelberg Catechism. And in that catechism, then giving instruction to God's people, but not only instruction, but also there was the preaching of the whole counsel of God. How sad, then, on this 400th anniversary of that synod, that we see Reformed churches abandoning, removing those stipulations from their church order. The Christian Reformed Synod at this past year voted to propose to the Synod of next year that Article 51 will be removed, requiring 2 worship services on the Sabbath day, and Article 54 requiring the preaching of the catechism or the confession. I say that not to run down another church. I say that as a warning to us, a warning that we become negligent toward the Sabbath day, to the second service, or we become weary of catechism preaching, saying, well, we've heard it all over before. I know of one Reformed pastor who says, well, I preached through the Heidelberg Catechism, and if they want me to do it every year, then I will just turn over the pages and start right over from the beginning. Is there nothing more in those Lord's days? Has he one time through depth gone to the depths of that instruction and brought the comfort that there is to God's people? So I say it for our own warning. There is a silencing of the joyful sound. And then I bring the question, do you, do I love and appreciate having 2 worship services on the Sabbath day? That is, corporately beginning the day in worship and corporately ending the day in worship. Do we love having the catechism? As one of my old preachers used to call him, endearingly, the old Heidelberger. Do we enjoy having those truths unfolded to us year after year? The title of my sermon is The Blessedness of the People Who Know the Joyful Sound. Notice with me, first of all, what is that sound? What does it mean? Second of all, knowing that sound. And then thirdly, the blessedness of those who know it. What is that sound? Knowing that sound, and then the blessedness of knowing it. What is that joyful sound? We could give an answer in one word. It is Christ. It is Jesus Christ as he is set forth in the preaching of the gospel. When that gospel is sounded forth, Jesus Christ in all of his person and his work is set before our eyes. So it is Christ, and it is the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. The Apostle Paul said he would know nothing other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. When we read here in Psalm 89, the psalmist talks about a joyful sound. He is speaking about the sound of the silver trumpets. There were silver trumpets that would sound forth in the tabernacle of Shiloh. At Shiloh there was the tent of meeting. There at Shiloh was the Ark of the Covenant. There at Shiloh there was the burnt offerings and the sacrifices made. And later on, it was at the temple. And the priests would stand upon the walls of Zion, and they would blow the silver trumpets, calling God's people to worship, calling God's people, announcing that the Sabbath day has begun. How do we know that the joyful sound is those silver trumpets? Well, we read of it in different passages. I'd like to begin with Numbers chapter 10. We read there in the first seven verses of Numbers chapter 10, God is speaking to Moses, "Make thou two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." So Moses is commanded to make those silver trumpets. In Leviticus chapter 25, verse 9, "Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound upon the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of the atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land." Make that sound through all the land. Leviticus 23, verse 24, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, in the 1st day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation." One more yet, Psalm 81, verse 3, "Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on the solemn feast day." I want you to notice they are silver trumpets, not made with any other alloys, but silver trumpets. Pictured there is the type. The antitype is the purity and the preciousness of the gospel. Silver trumpets, the purity and the preciousness of the gospel. And oh, can you hear? Can you hear the sound of those trumpets calling the people to worship? Can you hear that clear? Can you hear that piercing? Can you hear that penetrating sound? That sound that goes out and reverberates on the mountains around Jerusalem. A call to worship. A call to meet with their God. A sound grabbing hold of one's heart and one's mind. Turn to the Lord. Come to Jerusalem. Come to the temple with the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat on it. Come to the altar of the burnt offerings. The sounding of the trumpet, turn your hearts and your thoughts to prepare yourself for worship, to give praise and homage to the Lord. So the sound of the silver trumpets is the gospel of good news. Come to me. Come to the Lord Jesus. What is declared in that sound? Come to a place where the Lord is pleased to dwell with his people, where the Lord is to be found and called upon, a place where God receives his people in favor and in love. What assurance! When you and I are called to worship, God is with us. God is there and beckons us to draw an eye and then sends us away with blessings. May you go home today with a wonderful knowledge. My sins, though they are many, they are all blotted out. May you go home today and say, yes, I have been made righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God was imputed to me. May you go home wondering amazingly how God is with me every day and he will establish my path. What assurance. Over against this people that know the joyful sound, there is a contrast. There is a people that know and that joyful sound, but then there is also a people for whom that sound has been silenced and hear it no more. That is the third part of this psalm. That is the lament. And there is a change in tone between verse 37 and 38, if you look at those in your Bible. We read in verse 37, "It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven." That is this throne, this joyful sound that has gone forth, and the Christ who reigns. Over against that faithful witness in verse 37, notice verse 38 says, "But in contrast, thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin." Verse 41, "All that pass by spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire?" The glorious things that he has to say about God's covenant and God's mercy and God's faithfulness, he laments as he looks, and there is a people cast down. Something happened. What has taken place? And the answer is, the Lord has brought a judgment upon the people. You will notice at the beginning of the psalm that this is a maskal of Ethan the Ezrahite. That word maskal means it is instruction, it is teaching. And Ethan is going to bring this instruction to God's people. There is a judgment that is going to be carried out because of sin. We read in 1 Kings chapter 4, that Ethan, the Ezrahite, is a contemporary of King Solomon. Ethan, the Ezrahite, is one of the four wisest men in Judah and in Israel. And Ethan, the Ezrahite, sees the foolishness of King Solomon. He sees King Solomon taking in heathen wives and even building them palaces and temples for their gods right in Jerusalem, setting up heathen worship. And it is the judgment for Solomon's bad example to the people that finally Ethan has to cry out in this psalm, verse 46. "How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like a fire?" Verse 49, "Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth?" Ethan is afraid that God is going to make void his covenant. Verse 39, "Hast thou made void the covenant of thy servant? Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground." Is the sins of the people going to break the covenant of God? Going to cast aside everything that God has promised? Is it all done? There is a lament. It is through Solomon's foolishness and sin that God takes away 10 of the tribes. The tribes of Israel. You boys and girls will remember from catechism that Jeroboam is called back by those tribes to become their king. And when Jeroboam becomes their king, he doesn't want the people to go back to temple. He doesn't want the silver trumpets to sound a call to worship. So instead, he sets up two golden calves, one in Bethel and one in Dan. And he says, there are your gods. No more call to worship. No more going to Jerusalem. In fact, Israel, the 10 tribes, say, what have we to do with the house of David? That means the 10 tribes are really saying, what do we have to do with Christ? We don't need it. We don't need that seed of David. But even of Judah and Benjamin, on the throne is his son, wicked Rehoboam. Verses 46 and 49, Ethan beholds the anger and the wrath of God. There is a silencing of the silver trumpets calling to worship Jehovah. And the question is, what happens? What happens then to the loving kindness that was sworn to David? What happens to the kingdom of David's son? What happens to that great seed of David, that is the Messiah that was promised? Yes, a lament. A lament. It is gone. It is forfeited. And the question is, are God's promises not to be realized anymore? Is there none to banish that unrighteousness out of the nation? You see, in verse 16, especially the last part of it, the hope of the believer has to do with righteousness. That is an important verse, a beautiful verse. We read there, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. That means you and I, that means the church of Jesus Christ, has no righteousness of her own. But it is in the righteousness of God, the righteousness through our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again, that righteousness that is imputed to us, that is the only way we are exalted. We stand as God's people. Our hope is in that kingdom of righteousness where Christ reigns from sea to sea. We're going to sing later on song number 200, Christ shall have dominion from sea to sea. And that's what verses 3 and 4 of our passage and all of the verses from verse 19 through 37 are talking about. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. And now looking at the wickedness that's going on first in Israel and even in Judah, the question, will that righteous kingdom still come? Will unrighteousness be banished and its promoters defeated? There was terrible apostasy in Israel. There was terrible apostasy in Judah. And on our part, we have forfeited. We have forfeited the promises of God. So Ezra, or Ethan, the Ezrahite, Ethan writes in verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Beloved, hope. Hope for Ethan the Ezrahite, hope for God's people today lies in the twin pillars of God's mercy and God's faithfulness. Our hope does not lie in ourselves, in our worth, or our works. Thankfully, God does not deal with us as we deserve. For surely then he would cast us away. The twin pillars of mercy and faithfulness. God's mercy means he takes pity. He takes action with his people. He takes action not according to their worth or their works, but according to their need. He looks at their woeful condition and he hears their groans. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? God hears the groans of his own, and he has mercy upon them. And God's faithfulness, my mouth is going to sing, Ethan says, of God's faithfulness. I'm going to sing of that to every generation. The goodness of God of saving a people and their children. Notice, I will sing of thy faithfulness to every generation. God ties the parents and the children together, doesn't he? He says, I will save you and I'll save your household. I will save you and I will save your children. Oh, the prayers. Oh, the prayers then of godly parents for their children and the prayers of grandparents for their grandchildren. And yes, like in Singapore, the prayers of godly children who have come to the faith for their parents who are living in heathendom. In our generations, we experience God's mercy and God's faithfulness. So there is, beloved, a joyful sound, even though there is such apostasy going on. There will be Sabbaths. God says, my gospel will go forth by faithful men. And if there are ungodly kings on the throne, and there were even in Judah, there will be faithful priests. Zadok will sound the trumpets in Judah at least. Come to worship. Come to meet your God. God says, my gospel will go forth. God is present with his people, even though there are the sins of the house of David. God is in his temple and he will receive his people. And his petitions will come before his throne and he will grant them. God is there. God is there in the house of David, eventually in the Christ who comes out of that household. He is the anointed one. So we read in verse 24, my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Verse 27, him will I make my firstborn. Well, that's a beautiful thought. Jesus is the firstborn. That means that there are others born to God. Christ is first in God's mind. In election, God chose his son. And then there are many other sons and daughters by adoption. Verse 29, his seed also will I make to endure forever. God makes himself found in Jesus Christ. What a gospel we have. What a joyful sound that is about our God, but not only about our God, by our God. God is really saying to his people, I will open up my heart to you. In other words, he is not only a God of wrath for sin, but he is a God of covenant mercy and faithfulness. And God binds himself to his word, and Ethan clings to it. I want you to see that in the psalm, beginning in verse 30 through 34. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fall. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Do you see the gospel? Do you see the gospel? God's people do sin against him day after day after day. And God will come with a rod and chasten them. But that beautiful word in verse 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. It is that hope on God's mercy and faithfulness that sustains Ethan even as he sees the nation that he loves, God's people, the kingdom, apostatizing. They don't deserve God's love, but he is faithful to his promise. God binds himself to it. God says, I'm going to do what you can't do. I will establish the righteousness that is demanded of me. What good news that was for Judah. What good news that is for the church. How can we, sinful individuals, peoples, meet with the righteous, holy God? How? Impossible for us. But our God imputes his righteousness to us, the righteousness of Christ, so that we stand before God as if we had never sinned. God does what is impossible. That is, beloved, a joyful sound, isn't it, that gospel? How can you not be filled with joy and have your hope revived? It is a joyful sound to you and to your children. God comes, he says, I will chastise. I will work sorrow in your heart. I will work conversion in your heart and life. I will turn you again to myself. Why is God willing to do that to stubborn Judah and Israel? Why is God willing to do that for you and for me? And we know the answer. You see, the joyful sound is all about God's sovereign particular grace. A grace that is shown in our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, you see, has Jesus Christ at its center. Even as you find it in the psalm, the whole middle of the psalm is Jesus Christ, the anointed one. God will save for himself a people. As we read in Lamentations chapter 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That is the silver trumpet. Precious, pure, penetrating, clear. Salvation is found in God's Son, Jesus Christ. If that's the joyful sound, no, notice our text says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. That know the joyful sound. I want you to notice that there is a distinction. It does not say, blessed are the people that hear the sound, but blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. What's the difference? Many heard the joyful sound in Ethan's day. Even though that sound was silenced in the northern tribes under King Jeroboam, yet that sound was made known in Judah, and it would reverberate from the mountains, so that Edom, so that Philistia, that Moab, they also would hear that sound as it went forth in the mountains around Jerusalem. They heard was the piercing, penetrating sound. But while hearing it, they did not receive it in joy. Why not? It was a call calling them to worship. It was calling, announcing the Sabbath day, and they were saying in their hearts, oh, the Sabbath is upon us again. We have to lay aside our things that we would rather do. We have to lay aside our delights, Isaiah 58, instead of the Lord's delight. Oh, come up to the temple to bring your sacrifice. Now we are supposed to bring our best sacrifice. We have to come to the temple. You see, they were not interested in the sound of the silver trumpets. They'd rather plug their ears and do their own delights. It was silenced in the northern tribes, and even while it was heard in the southern tribes, the people reacted negatively. And that brings me, beloved, to today. The silver trumpet is being silenced today in many churches. That silver trumpet is removed and is replaced instead with entertainment, with drama, with dance, with song, with stories. We want to be entertained. That is, the silver trumpet is heard but not received in faith. We don't have time. We don't desire to come twice to worship. A poll was done by the Christian Reformed Church, by one of the pastors, of the most dedicated members of the church. That is, their elders, their deacons, their Sunday school teachers, the most involved ones. How often did they come to church? And the average came down to 2 services per month. No time, no desire. They might hear the call to come to worship, but they say, no, we're busy. We want to do other things. There is no desire for catechism preaching. There is no desire for sound doctrine. It grates against their ears. As in Israel, not all of Israel were Israel, so not all are God's people who are called God's people. Not all are Christians that profess to be Christians. As we read in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is sent to sound forth. The Lord says, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy and shut their eyes. There is a sound heard, but not known, not received in faith. We read in 1 Timothy 4, Paul writes to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth. Jesus, after the parable of the different soils, said in Luke 8, verse 18, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Do you see there is a difference between merely hearing the sound and understanding and knowing and loving the sound, knowing him who is proclaimed, that is Christ Jesus? There is a contrast. There are those who hear and know the sound by God's sovereign grace. So that we read in our text, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Notice it's not a people, but there is a definite article in front of it. The people, God's elect, known and loved by God, a remnant. They, when they hear the joyful sound, they know Christ. They know the gospel of salvation, of righteousness, of God imputed to us. The word preached excites them. The word preached moves them in such a way that they cannot restrain themselves. They are pressed to respond. They are pressed to confess. They are pressed to praise God. They hear in faith, and they know the Savior. That is, beloved, a work of the Holy Spirit. They recognize the voice in that sound, that joyful sound. They recognize the Good Shepherd in his voice. When Jesus taught in the temple, and when Jesus taught the multitudes, there were many in those audiences. They heard Jesus, but they did not receive it in faith. And the harder that doctrine was from Jesus' mouth, the more that they turned away from him and walked with him no more. How sad today that increasingly in our churches there is a hearing of the sound only to try to find fault. Coming to church to hear the sound, to make sure the minister says every word the way we want to hear it, and if we hear a different word or a different phrase, we get angry and we find all kinds of criticism. There's no good in the man. What a time. What a time for us as churches to pray for men to enter the gospel ministry. As Isaiah, as Jeremiah, and many of the prophets of Israel said, it's not a very popular thing. And you know, God reacts to that when there are those who will not hear and rejoice in the sound of the gospel as it is preached by mere men in earthen vessels. God says, fine, I will take it away. And beloved, that is what he can do in our denomination. We have many men who are ready to retire. Are there going to be young men who feel the call to go into the gospel ministry when in our churches there are those in the pew who are finding fault? And every church has some of those members. That keeps us humble. It keeps us humble, but it's a dangerous thing. Instead of criticizing our ministers, you're soon going to have a young minister, the Lord willing. Instead of criticizing and find fault, oh beloved, pray. Pray for your ministers. Encourage them in their work that with joy they may sound forth the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It means, beloved, we have to come to church in faith, not to find fault, to criticize this word or that. Come in faith to hear and know the sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. It's the Lord Jesus who is pleased to speak to us through the instrument of sinful men. I want to be careful here. We do read of the Bereans, don't we? The Bereans were more noble than all the other saints because they searched the scriptures whether these things were so. Good, search your scriptures. But when it comes to supervising the preaching, we have elders to do that for us. Don't come with a critical attitude to church because you will not get a blessing then out of the sermon. Come expecting to hear the Lord Jesus. And then know, experientially have that intimacy with the Savior who was presented, Jesus Christ. Christ says, know me. Know the salvation that I have brought. Know the righteousness of God that is imputed to you freely by grace. So there are the people. It's a remnant. There are the people that know experientially know the joyful sound. And our text says, blessed are those people, God's people, the elect, that know the joyful sound. What is that blessedness? Well, you'll find at the end of our text, verse 15, that there is God's countenance. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. What is this countenance of God? It is his approval. It is knowing God's unfailing mercy and faithfulness. It is knowing God's covenant faithfulness. It's knowing that covenant, God will not let his people go. It is knowing God's favor and love to bless. Whatever the afflictions of God's people, whatever the dangers or difficulties on our path, yet we are blessed. That sound is joyful in their ears. That is, the tune sticks with you. I can hear my wife quite often working above me in the house, humming or singing different Psalter tunes. Those words just stick with us, the mercy and the faithfulness of God. Yes, sing that song. Sing that song. And then we join with God's command in the worship and the service of God. His covenant is not broken, but established and realized and perfected in Jesus Christ. Not only do we know that countenance of God that is smiling upon us, but according to verse 15, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. You see, God's favor and God's grace are the cause, are the basis then of our walk in this life. We live in that grace and that favor of God. He is our life, and therefore he is our light. He blesses our walk, a walk of faith, a walk that is upright, a sanctified walk that flows out of our justification. We are eager to serve. We are eager to obey. We are eager to walk in good works. As he warns us, as he directs us, as he guides us in his word and spirit. Hearing and receiving, knowing the joyful sound of the gospel, it moves our hearts. It directs our lives so that there is from our lips a faithful confession. And there is from our life a life that honors that confession. Not only with our mouth, but our whole life says, this God is our God. Oh, how wonderful is that blessedness. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. More, the blessedness is in verse 16, is in thy name shall they rejoice all the day. You see, they know the joyful sound, and therefore they are a joyful people. They rejoice in thy name. They rejoice in, the last part of that verse, thy righteousness. We are a happy people. We're not a people who run around with a long face and say, yeah, I'm a miserable sinner, a horrible sinner. We are that. But by grace, we're more than that, aren't we? We are the redeemed. We are the ones who are rejoicing every day because God loves us and he has saved us and he redeems us to be his own. We rejoice in the righteousness of God that is imputed to us. There's our salvation, not in our works. But we are then a godly people in thankfulness for our salvation. We rejoice, notice in the text, not at, but we rejoice in God's name and in his righteousness. There is that beautiful connection with God in Christ Jesus. And our text ends, in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. You see, by the joyful sound of the gospel, Jesus Christ set forth, there is a righteousness that is pure and holy, acceptable to God, and is freely given to us, and that's our lot. We will stand now before the Lord in faith, and he says, I love you. You are the apple of mine eye. And one day we're going to see Christ Jesus face to face. We are exalted out of our sins, out of our bondage, to be a people of God who know and love him. So may we, may you, in a couple weeks when your pastor comes here, may you be the blessed people that know the joyful sound. Come worship me. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. We hear that sound and we respond in faith. Amen. Father in heaven, how beautiful is the concept of thy covenant set forth in this psalm. God's people are sinful, are wicked. And while thou wilt chastise them, thou wilt not utterly abandon them, but thou wilt remember thy covenant, thy mercy, and thy faithfulness. We thank thee, Father, that there will be a church always until Jesus comes back again. Make us then, Lord, faithful. May the truth of the gospel always sound purely from this pulpit, penetratingly, so that thy people hear. May hear and may know the joyful sound. Jesus says, Amen.